Did George Soros' son Alex just get a whole bunch of people fired in Ukraine? Oh, this is a story you won't see in the mainstream media, of course. We'll get to that part of the story in a second. But first, the story, another story you won't see in the mainstream media. Ukraine is trying to start selling weapons to other countries. Let me just pause there for a second. Ukraine is trying to start selling its own weapons to other countries. At the exact same time, America and NATO countries are sending billions of weapons to Ukraine. So how does that work exactly? Thanks to some great reporting by journalist David Creighton, writing at Human Events, we now know that Ukraine is trying to export and sell its weapons to make money. Think about it. So Ukraine seeks to sell weapons produced by their own defense companies. I just can't really follow this at all. At present, the issue of scaling up production can only compete with the issue of financing it, says Dmitry, the chairman of RADA Committee on Economic Development. So they really want to scale up and move and make as much money as they can right now on their using their weapons. So you'll beg for more weapons and money, and then use that money to build up your own weapons, which you won't use. Instead, you'll sell them. What? Okay, it's a lot like a kid's lemonade stand. You know, the kids don't buy the lemonade mix at all. The parents did, and then the kids are selling the lemonade.
My dad didn't allow that.
And they keep the money, right? How about paying the parents back first?
I had to use my allowance money in order to buy the supplies first.
Yes, yeah. That's a smart parent.
Are we buying the weapons from them? Is it like the parents having to pay for the lemonade from the lemonade stand? They don't get a freebie? Like, no, sorry, no freebies from our lemonade
right,
stand.
Right, right. Like, no freebies. But so Zelensky released this video last week, and he posted it on Twitter. Again, Volodymyr Zelensky, the current dictator of Ukraine. Remember, his presidency ended in May, and he decided to stay in power, so he's actually not elected any longer. He is a dictator. Zelensky posted this video on X. Watch.
Bohdana self-propelled artillery system, previously unseen surface UAVs, long-range missiles, and drones. Ukraine already has the weapons to counter enemies' attacks. But as the war continues, Ukraine continues to increase its military production. In the 2.5 years of full-scale war, Russia has launched over 43,000 various types of missiles and glide bombs at Ukraine. One of the most effective ways to counter this is to strike at the carriers of these weapons, Russian aircraft at military airfields. However, allies have not yet permitted Ukraine to do this with their weapons. The state has launched a grant program for private rocket projects, invested in state-designed bureaus, and implemented deregulation to stimulate this industry. And here are the first results. Introducing Palyanitsa, a Ukrainian long-range rocket drone. Almost everything about it is classified, but some details were made public. 24 Russian military airfields are within its strike range. The entire development was completed within an incredibly short period, in just a year and a half. The motivation is significant. The sooner Palyanitsa is ready, the more lives it can protect, and the less suffering the civilian population will endure. Palyanitsa will be launched from a ground platform. The engine is turbojet.
Okay.
All of this was developed using Windows 94. Did you see that woman on the computer? Go ahead, Philip. I'm sorry.
I take serious issue with the statement. Like, I'm sorry, but missiles and bombs do not save lives. They don't protect lives. They take them. Negotiation saves lives. Like, that's mm-hmm. how peace talks save lives. You cannot.
Right.
A bomb is not designed to protect anything. It's designed to destroy. That's its purpose.
Well, someone was, of course, meddling in the peace talks, right? And this was all happening. So talk about peace talks, right? Right as this incursion into Kursk was happening, peace talks on the table. And then suddenly we get this incursion into Russia. It's convenient how all of this happens simultaneously, right? When we have peace talks on the table, Boris Johnson gets in the way. And the United States gets in the way. We can't have peace. We want more war.
Also, it is a little bit infantilizing when you have this video saying, we've got these really strong weapons, we're awesome, we know what we're doing, but our mommy won't let us use the weapons they send us against Russia, so we got to do it ourselves. Didn't you sort of get that?
Yeah, and we're going to sell them to make... Okay, so wait, you're going to use our money, U.S. taxpayer money that we sent you. In order, all of this is coming from the United States. All of the money used for this R&D and everything else is coming from us. Go ahead, David.
Well, and the thing is, like, the United States, like, they don't know how to make the jets and all that. We're sending them, you know, these weapons and everything. So I guarantee that the U.S. war contractors are probably building up shops over there, and they're making money tax-free. They're probably not taxing them. They probably don't have any regulations. They can make whatever they want. So I'm sure that, like, our war contractors are probably over there building companies right now.
And that's exactly what brings us to the next part of our story. Ukraine is crumbling. Zelensky's regime in Ukraine is collapsing in real time. The failed Kursk offensive left thousands of Ukrainians dead, most of their armored vehicles destroyed, as Moon of Alabama has reported. Even pro-Ukrainian Telegram accounts called Zelensky's decision to attack Russia inside of Russia a death sentence and utterly foolish. Everyone knew it was a death sentence for the thousands of men who were going to basically be used as cannon fodder by Zelensky in order to, I don't know, bolster his own ego in some way. This offensive was all happening, though, while peace talks were set to take place on the table to move forward in some capacity. And now we're seeing the fallout of that failed offensive. Beyond just a few hours ago, we learned that just about everyone in Zelensky's kind of closest inner circle has quit, resigned, or been fired. They're saying resign, but we know the real story here. They're getting out because they know what's about to happen. The dictator in Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky, may soon also be out of a job. How much longer can this guy hold on? Over the past few hours, here's the list of individuals. Thanks to RT for these graphics here. So these are the individuals that have either, quote, resigned or been fired. Dmitry Kuleba, Olega Stefanishina, Irina Virishchuk, Nikolai Olishchuk, sorry, commander of the Ukrainian Air Force, fired, resigned, resigned, resigned. Okay, put a pin in Olega for a second because we'll come back to her in just a moment. Here's more. Here's another list. Alexander Kamishin. Denis Molyshka. I'm not going to try to pronounce the rest of these. But these are all fired, resigned, fired, all within the past few hours. All of these firings came, though, very interestingly, the timing of this, just after George Soros' son just came to town, went to Kiev, to lay out his investing plans for Ukraine. Back to what David was just talking about. Journalist Shea Boz was asked this very question this morning about Soros, and he brought up some very interesting coincidences about the investing opportunities in Ukraine and what the future looks like there for, I don't know, defense contractors, BlackRock, Vanguard, the billions of dollars that are going to be put into Ukraine. Can't really do that when you've got bombs falling. Watch.
Last week, we had Alex Soros from the Open Security Foundation NGO, the son of the liberal billionaire, the tycoon George Soros, in Ukraine, speaking about doing business deals post-conflict. You've also got the restoration of the country being one of the top topics by Rothschild & Co. So you have a lot of investors speaking about what's going to happen to Ukraine. And I put it to you, Shea, that when this happens, when you've got so much money at stake, people want return for their buck. And now we're seeing this happening, right?
Mm-hmm. Indeed. And to suggest that this kind of money, the people in charge of the investment in Ukraine, if you like, if you can call it that, the economy is in tatters, if you like, to use the words of a very famous European politician. These people have immense influence. And also, what's interesting, if you look at some of the more important people who have resigned or been fired, like Olga Stefanchina, the Deputy Prime Minister for European and Euro-Atlantic Integration, this would be a post very much responsible for that integration and that connecting with this Euro-Atlantic grouping, which these investors would be part of. Irina Vereshchuk, Minister of Reintegration of the Temporarily Occupied Territories. these places like Crimea, Donbass, Donetsk, Lugansk. She has also resigned. And Nikolai Oleshuk, the commander of the Ukrainian Air Force. Now, we've seen this debacle with the first F-16 being brought down with a very experienced pilot, just trained in the US, to great fanfare. He was lost, he was killed, and the first F-16. So the commander of the Air Force has also seen his career crash and burn, if you like.
Interesting timing, isn't it? So is Soros trying to reshuffle things in order to carry out peace talks?
Well, the way Zelensky framed it is that these new positions, he's going to replace them, and it will give new strength to Ukraine. Who believes that? Who would think, oh, yes, you got to out with the old in the middle of a war? Definitely.
New
Ukraine's
strength.
Ukraine's going to be stronger now.
Right.
Because the people you told us to trust them to lead to success in a war are out now. Okay, good. Feel good about that.
I mean, or is it that, you know, I mean, here's the thing. Like, Putin wanted to negotiate, and he brought up that we can't negotiate constitutionally with a dictator. Mm-hmm. Like, you are no longer in power. You're no longer the president of Ukraine. You're now a dictator. Your term ended in May. Also, parliament is also out of power. And they're no longer technically in power. Who are you going to negotiate peace accords with?
Right.
People who aren't legitimately elected. So who is going to actually be the de facto dictator? Who's going to be in power right now? And will George Soros' son, Alex, have any say in this as well inside of the Zelensky regime? Will Zelensky be removed very soon? I found this very fascinating because Foreign Affairs magazine just out with a brand new article. Now, Foreign Affairs magazine, keep this up on the screen if you would, Philip. They have been absolutely in the tank. They are mouthpieces, of course, of the military-industrial complex in the United States. They are mouthpieces of the CIA. So Foreign Affairs magazine absolutely wants war. They've wanted it for years. They are neoconservatives. They are in the tank on all of this. And these two writers, Michael Kaufman and Rob Lee, we've covered their stories before here on the show. They've been very pro-Ukraine. And any sort of weird boondoggle moves that Ukraine has made in the past, they've supported. But they're really slamming all of these moves lately militarily in Kursk. The idea is to attack Crimea. You need to read the piece. It's a deep piece. But basically, they're saying, who the hell's in charge over there? They don't know what the hell they're doing. They're going to try to attack Crimea. And in Foreign Affairs magazine, they said, it doesn't make any sense at all. It raises more questions than answers. A series of disparate efforts do not a strategy make, they say. Kiev's present theory of success remains unclear, meaning they don't have any idea what it means to be successful against Russia. So all of these people are fired now, and what? Who are you going to put in place? In what strategy will they employ? You're not going to become a member of, NATO, by all accounts. So what's going to happen? You're just going to continue to use this territory as cannon fodder for Ukrainians being killed and weapons being tested? Or is Soros up to something different here? I mean, I sort of put it out there on the table. What do you think? I mean, if the money there is there for investment and they want this country rebuilt because now they own all of the land, BlackRock, Vanguard, Soros, mm-hmm. all of these billionaires that now own Ukraine, they're not going to want an unending war in this spot. They're going to want investment. They're going to want buildings built. They're going to want to start to rape as many of the minerals as they can from the ground and steal as much as they can from Ukraine.
But unfortunately, most of those mines that are resource wealthy are now part of Russia, and they will not, by all accounts, get it back. So are there other places that they can exploit? Now, if you'd been studying Ukraine for the last 20 years, you'd know the people who worked in those mines had said, Ukraine exploits us. We never wanted to be a part of Ukraine. We send them all of these, treasures that we dig out of the ground, they give us nothing in return. They take for us and give us nothing back. So will now the rest of Ukraine be have that be their fate now that the Donbas is no longer available to pillage? That doesn't sound awesome. So if you live in the rest of Ukraine, in Western Ukraine, you might think, I don't want to be the new Donbas, right? So why would you root for this government, this corrupt government? Zelensky is a war criminal.
I mean, you're standing in there. Go ahead.
I don't know what their rules are over there for elections and stuff, but maybe Lindsey Graham could go over there and become president.
Let him.
Yeah, give him citizenship. They'd love him over there. Meanwhile, I don't know if we have this video. This is unbelievable. So this was posted overnight. So we talk about some of these new weapons being developed by Ukraine. These are now the Ukrainian drones, which is now spitting fire. According to reports, it shoots hot thermite. It looks like a dragon flying over, shooting hot like lava down on people. I mean, this is like the kind of stuff they're developing now. Maybe they can send this out and start selling it. I guess it's part of the weapons package that, you know, the United States is funding. Lava, thermite. It uses iron oxide, magnesium, is able to reach 2,400 degrees Celsius and fly over Russian positions and just burn people alive.
I mean, isn't
alive.
That technically like a bio kind of weapon, you know, like that is against the Geneva Convention, like chemical weapon?
If it's not, can it be? Let's not have that in the world.
Look at that. Like scorched earth. Holy smokes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, I think it's interesting. All of these firings in the past few hours in Ukraine, what's coming next? Will peace talks now be on the table, or is this a major setback for peace in this area? And will more Americans die? Because Americans are dying there. We now know that a number of foreign officers were also just killed in the past 24 hours there from Sweden were also killed. How many more international troops are going to be killed in Ukraine until they end this madness? As our friend Colonel Douglas McGregor likes to say, make peace now, you fools.